Are you ready for more independence as a financial advisor? Consider the RIA model. Schwab Advisor Services has helped thousands of advisors make the move. To find your path, start with Schwab at advisorservices.schwab.com/paths today.
At BP, we've reset our strategy with a focused downstream, a growing upstream, and disciplined investment in the transition. See how we'll grow shareholder value at bp.com/reset.
Hey guys, as many of you know, last year we started our Blessed and Bossed Up book club, and our first book club pick was Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Meyer. There's been a lot happening in the world, specifically in the United States with this new administration. There have been a lot of major changes that have impacted a lot of people. I personally live in the DC area where the majority of those in my area work for the federal government. So many people that I know and I love have been impacted by the layoffs, by the restructuring, closing of departments. And there's a lot of uncertainty right now. And a lot of people are in some really hurtful places at the moment, and not just in the U.S., but on a global scale as well. And so I thought it would be appropriate as we close out one month, we go into another one, we go into a new season, that we are reminded of the fact that the mind is a battlefield, and we have to make sure that we are being intentional about winning that battle. So I'm going to be reposting one of the chapters we discussed last year, all about the anxious mind. And I believe that by revisiting this and getting this refresher, we can go into this new month, this new season, and this space of uncertainty that a lot of us find ourselves in with a renewed perspective and a renewed fight. So without further ado, here is a replay of an anxious and worried mind from last year's episode of our book club pick, Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Meyer. You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. We are continuing on our journey of Battlefield of the Mind. Again, if you want to read along, you can click the link in the show notes to join us. If not, pay attention to these episodes anyway, because they are always super rich. Quick church announcement. If you are in or around the DMV area, which stands for DC, Maryland, and Virginia, I want to invite you to a co-working session at my studio, Anchored Media Studios. It's called Christ and Co-Work. And this is an opportunity for believers to really come together and work in a Holy Spirit-led environment. Many of you know your productivity a lot of times is contingent upon the environment. So me and my girl Kavaya, we are going to cultivate an environment where you could come and work. So whether you're working on business, whether you're creating content, whether you are working your 9-to-5 remotely, we want you to just get into the room with other like-minded believers so that we can just hang out, pour into each other, be productive, get stuff done in real life. I know we get trapped behind these devices a lot of the times, but this is really an environment, a spirit-filled environment where we can really create with Christ at the center and we can work with Christ at the center. So come and join us. The link to register is in the show notes. It's happening on May 21st at Anchored Media Studios, which is in Laurel, Maryland. We're in the midway point between DC and Baltimore. So come out, join us. I would love to meet you in person and just thank you for your support. And I look forward to seeing what God does. Click the link in the show notes to register for that. All right. So hopping into chapter 12, it's called An Anxious and Worried Mind. Joyce starts off with Psalm 37:8. It says, "Fret not thyself in any wise." Y'all, I read this and I said, what does that mean? And I'm going to point out a lot of times my reaction to different translation of scriptures, because I want you to, one, understand that it's okay if you read a scripture and you don't know what it's saying. You don't have to fake it till you make it, but use that uncertainty to go and explore. And that's what I did here. I'm like, I don't know what this means. I see it's in the King James Version, so let me go read it in other versions. So Psalm 37:8 in the New Living Translation. This verse is actually verse 7, the one that she has here. In the New Living Translation, it says, "Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes." There was a definition of anxiety or anxiousness that I came across some time ago, and the person who was communicating it said that to be anxious is to be distracted. And I never really heard that definition previously. You always hear about being worried, to be unsettled, to not be at ease, all of that. But to be distracted was a definition that really hit home. And I think Joyce even emphasizes that here when she opens up the chapter by saying anxiety and worry are both attacks on the mind intended to distract us from serving the Lord. The enemy also uses both of these torments to press our faith down so that it cannot rise up and help us live in victory. And Joyce talks about how she identifies with this, and this sentence in particular hit home with me. She says, "Because I was constantly worrying about something, I never enjoyed the peace that Jesus died for me to have. It is absolutely impossible to worry and live in peace at the same time. Peace is not something that can be put on a person. It's a fruit of the Spirit, and fruit is the result of abiding in Jesus." And later on in this paragraph, she referenced John 14 and 27. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, and this is in reference to the promise of the Holy Spirit. It says, "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." Joyce adds emphasis in the text and says that peace is present in us, but it must be chosen over what our fleshly mind thinks. We can choose to be peaceful by choosing to think on things that promote peace rather than things that open a door for worry and anxiety. There are certain words that just stood out in this chapter to me. She talked about opening a door to worry and anxiety. Later on, she talked about entertaining this cycle that the enemy would put her in. So she would say she would be in the kitchen or something going over bills, and the math ain't math and the bills is higher than the income. So she's stressed trying to figure out, where is this going to come from? Where is this money going to come from? Are they going to take our house? Are we going to be in foreclosure? Am I going to have to ask friends and family for money? Am I going to be embarrassed? Like, the thoughts, you just start spiraling. And I don't know about y'all, but I've been in this situation many a times where I may be worried about something and then it spiraled. And so she was talking about how her husband, on the other hand, is somebody who doesn't really worry like that. He's more easygoing. And so she's in the kitchen stressing over finances. He's in the other room playing with the kids. And so she's like, "Hey, what you doing? You in there playing? But we got bills to worry about." So she's mad at him because he ain't worried, and it's just this cycle. So eventually her husband will tell her, like, "Look, we trust God. He's gonna take care of it." And she believes him, and then she goes and joins him and the children and playing. But then that door gets open again. The enemy plants that seed, that thought of, "But these bills though." And then she goes back in the kitchen, her mind starts spiraling, and it's the same cycle. And I love that she used that word entertain, because up until this point, we've talked a lot about how we are to take thoughts captive and all of that. So, and we talked about how the enemy will plant a seed, and we can choose if we're going to accept what he plants in our mind or not. And I believe that this is another way that he keeps us off track and distracted from focusing on the Lord, is we start to entertain the thoughts. So we may not accept the doom and gloom that our mind has spiraled to, but we're entertaining it. And that's the next best thing. Because if we accept it, then it creates this stronghold. It creates this opportunity for the enemy to keep us in bondage. So that, of course, is his ultimate goal, because he comes to kill, steal, destroy. So if we don't accept it to where it becomes that stronghold, but we entertain it, then that will still keep us stuck. That's the next best thing. And I never really looked at it like that until the Holy Spirit really just highlighted these certain words to me. And it even made me check myself of, yeah, I may have that conviction and the wisdom and the strength to not accept the thoughts of the enemy, but am I employing that same strength to not entertain the thoughts of the enemy? And I'm asking you that same thing. You may be spiritually mature. You know, you may be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit. You may be a leader in your church, the one that everybody goes to. So you know better than to accept the thought, but do you entertain it? you know better than to admit out your mouth that you may be in poverty or in debt or lacking financially. You have enough control of your tongue to where you won't come into agreement with these things, but do you have enough control of your mind to where you won't even entertain them? Because again, if the enemy can't totally take you out, he's going to torment you. And that's what happens when we spiral and we entertain these thoughts. It's a form of torment. In the book, Joyce defines worry. She says, Webster defines the word worry as follows: to feel uneasy or troubled, to cause to feel anxious, distressed, or troubled, a source of nagging concern. I've also heard it defined as to torment oneself with disturbing thoughts. When I saw the part about tormenting oneself with disturbing thoughts, I decided right then and there that I'm smarter than that. I believe every Christian is. I think believers have more wisdom than to sit around and torment themselves. She goes on to say, and I'm going to say this slowly because it's really good. Worry is definitely an attack from Satan upon the mind. There are certain things the believer is instructed to do with his mind, and the enemy wants to make sure that they are never done. So the devil attempts to keep the mental arena busy enough with the wrong kinds of thinking so that the mind never gets around to being used for the purpose for which God designed it. So as we are tormenting ourselves by entertaining these thoughts of the enemy, he is keeping us distracted from what God needs to use our mind for. I've seen this happen, especially in business, with myself and other businesses that I may have worked with. And you tell me if you've been in this position. You have been busying yourself doing what God has called you to do. You've created the product. You've created the service. You've come up with a launch plan and you've got your content ready and you're excited when you're in that planning phase. So you're doing all the things. You did the research, you're creating it, and you're ready to launch. You launched that program. You launched that product. Crickets. Nothing happens. You launch the event, crickets, no ticket sales. The enemy then utilizes that as an opportunity to get you to worry about the thing and even doubt the thing that God has called you to do. So then as he's allowing you, or as you may entertain him in that space and he torments you, now all you're focused on in your mind is, I need to figure out how to make money. So such and such is doing this event. Such and such has this similar product or service. So let me do that. Let me do whatever to make sure I get these bills paid. The invoice is coming up for the software I use. The money is due for the building. I just got to do what I got to do to make this money. So instead of trusting God, instead of staying focused on him, instead of leaning into him, the uncertainty and the worry of the circumstance, the enemy then uses that to manipulate you, to get you to spiral and torment yourself. This episode is brought to you by Indeed. Sometimes one of the keys to reaching our business goals is hiring the right people. And not just hiring the right people, but finding the right people as quickly as possible. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. One of the things I love about Indeed is the fact that they make hiring so fast. When I was hiring for my business, it was just such a drag and a waste of time, it felt like, with how long it took to find the right candidates. I wish I had Indeed. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. How fast is Indeed? In the minute that I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. There is no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. Let me put y'all on for a second. Shopping on Revolve.com is truly an experience. It's like having a personal stylist built into the site. Whether it's vacation, brunch, birthday, or date night, as I was looking for, or if you want to just get cute for no reason, at Revolve.com, they get it. And they curate it for you, which makes the shopping experience so easy. One of the things I love the most were the accessories. I went straight for the designer shades, the dainty bracelets, the statement watches, all of my favorite things to have in my closet. And with summer right around the corner, I was all in the shoe section. There are so many cute styles that are perfect for dressing up or just running errands in style. They carry over 1,200 brands, from everyday favorites to designer must-haves, plus they drop new arrivals daily. I also love their size inclusivity. As someone who has been having babies over the last 5 years or so, my size varies. And I love that they have options from extra, extra small all the way up to 4X. From last-minute getaways to party dressing and seasonal upgrades, Revolve has you covered with fast 2-day shipping and easy returns, all on them. And for a limited time, you can shop a curated selection of my favorite styles at revolve.com/blessed and receive 15% off your first order with code BLESSED. That's revolve.com/blessed to shop my top picks and get 15% off your first order with code BLESSED. Offer ends June 15th, so don't miss out. This episode is brought to you by Cozy Earth. As a mom of two and a full-time entrepreneur, my days are nonstop. And I've learned the hard way that when I don't sleep well, everything feels harder and everything suffers. That's why I had to upgrade my nights with Cozy Earth. Their bamboo sheet set, let me tell you, game changer. It's the softest, most breathable fabric I've ever slept on. And the best part to me is the temperature regulation. I'm someone who gets hot in my sleep. I freeze my husband every night with the fan, but with the temperature regulation, I don't have to wake up hot or tossing and turning. I just rest deeply. So if you're someone who wears multiple hats like me, sometimes we have a tendency of putting ourselves last, and it's time to change that. Prioritize sleep and prioritize you. Visit CozyEarth.com and use my code BLESSED for up to 40% off sheets, pajamas, towels, and more. That's CozyEarth.com, code BLESSED. And if you get a post-purchase survey, let them know that you heard it right here. Sleep better with Cozy Earth. So now you're so busy trying to figure out how to make money because of your anxiety that your mind is not clear to hear the specific instructions from the Lord on what to do next. I remember when I first quit my job 7 years ago. And I stayed up all night. I had put in a 1 month notice. I said, I need more than 2 weeks. I need a month, Lord. I need to make sure I get all this month's worth of money and that I get this PTO payout. So I need a couple more hours to accrue. So I'm maximizing this last little bit of check. So I got to work on launching this program. I put it all together. I'm like, man, the Lord told me to quit my job. I'm about to be rich tomorrow. Just naive. And I did all of this. I stayed up all night to launch my program, partly because of excitement, partly because, you know, I really wanted to get things moving because I'm early on in my faith walk. I have a childlike level of faith, which is good, but still a bit naive. I launch my program. I take a nap. I don't even fully go to sleep because I'm too excited. I wake up, nothing. I had worked it up in my head to where I knew I was going to fall asleep and I was going to wake up and I was going to have all of these sales. I woke up, nothing. Absolutely nothing. And even though I was early in my faith walk at that time, the enemy wanted to plant the seed. See, that's why you shouldn't have quit that job. So you really about to be out here self-employed? How are your bills going to get paid? How are you going to do this? How are you going to do that? Really trying to get me to entertain that line of thinking. So even in my childlike faith at that time, I said, now I'm going back to my prayer closet. And sure enough, disappointed and all, sad and all, unsure and all about the future, I went and sat in that prayer closet. I said, God, you're going to have to tell me what to do next. And what happened from that point, God took me on a journey, not of transforming my business, but of transforming me, of teaching me who He is, of teaching me about prayer, of teaching me about fasting, of teaching me about trust, how I could have no job, a business that's generating no money, and all of my needs be met. I had a crash course in faith. And I thank God for having enough sense not to spiral with the enemy, because if I would have entertained him and sat there and tormented myself in that space of disappointment, then who knows if I would be here today? I'm just glad I didn't have to find out. That's a lesson I'm glad I don't know, because I didn't need to learn it. Praise the Lord. So for you, in what ways are you entertaining the enemy and opening up the door for you to be tormenting yourself? I believe anxiety, thinking back to the episode last week on imposter syndrome, and I talked about how with the advancement of the mental health industry and mental health disorders and all the knowledge and such that everybody has, a lot of times we are adopting diagnoses that are not ours, and they become self-fulfilling prophecies in a sense, to where you may be dealing with just some life change, but because you heard about anxiety disorder, you've claimed that as yours, and now you're actually developing and exhibiting those symptoms. But as believers, we have to understand what the Lord said. Again, in John 14:27, he says, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Jesus died for the peace that we have. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling on the inside of us. A fruit of that Spirit is peace. And if peace is an issue for you, I would suggest that you go back and listen to an episode that I did talking about peace and perspective, because we've adapted this definition of peace being the absence of trouble when that's not true. And Joyce even told this story that I thought was so good. She says, to illustrate, let me share a story I once heard involving two artists who were asked to paint pictures of peace as they perceived it. One painted a quiet, still lake far back into the mountains. The other painted a raging, rushing waterfall, which had a birch tree leaning out over it with a bird resting in a nest on one of the branches. Which one of these depicts peace? The second one does, because there is no such thing as peace without opposition. The first painting represents stagnation. The scene it sets forth may be serene. A person might be motivated to want to get there to recuperate. It may offer a pretty picture, but it doesn't depict the rest of God. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. His peace is a spiritual peace, and his rest is one that operates in the midst of the storm, not in the absence. Jesus did not come to remove all opposition from our lives, but rather to give us different approaches to the storms of life. We are to take his yoke upon us and learn from him. It is going to take intentionality, consistency, focus in order to operate in this level of rest. It's going to take you not just intellectualizing the Word of God, but truly connecting with it on an emotional level. It's not going to just take your relationship with God being religious practices where you go to church, you say all the right things. It's going to take you really being settled and being devoted and committed to serving the Lord with your mind, your heart, your soul, your entire being. That's necessary for this type of peace. We can't be lukewarm and experience this type of rest. We can't be one foot in, one foot out to experience this type of rest. We have to be 10 toes down and being focused on the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all things will be added unto us. We have to be hyper focused when his word tells us, do not worry about tomorrow, for today has enough trouble of its own. If we read the Gospels, there is such clear metrics for living. There's so much wisdom in what Jesus said and how Jesus lived. And for those of you who are dealing with anxiety and worry, you're not going to passively move into a place of peace and rest. It's going to take commitment. Because in your lacks is how the enemy has been able to get you to entertain him. He's been able to instigate situations and keep your mind so occupied in you spiraling and tormenting yourself that you're not focused on the things of God. You're not clear-minded and settled in the things of him. You're not abiding in him. You're not taking his yoke upon you as the word tells us to do. Going back to when Joyce was talking about worrying about the bills and her husband was playing with the children and she was essentially mad at him, there was a part that really stood out to me. She said, "I would yell at Dave and the children for having a good time while I was taking all of the responsibility," in air quotes. Actually, what I was experiencing was not responsibility, it was care. Something God has specifically told me to cast on him. I look back now and realize that I wasted all those evenings that God gave me in my early married life. The time he gives us is a precious gift, but I gave it to the devil. Your time is your own. Use it wisely. You won't pass this way again. Let me read that sentence I got highlighted one more time because this stuck with me. The time that the Lord gives us is a precious gift, but I gave it to the devil. Imagine that. With all that's going on in the world right now, we have many opportunities. We don't have to look far to worry about anything. We also don't have to look far to have peace because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. How many of us are taking something like time, this precious gift that we'll never see it again, and giving it to the devil? Where we're wasting it worrying on things versus standing in the promises of God versus resting in the fact that God is going to work it out. How he's going to work it out, it's not our business. When he's going to work it out, it's not our business. All the details, those things are not our business. Our business is to cast our cares on him. Our business is to take his yoke upon us. Our business is to not worry about tomorrow. Our business is to resist the enemy. Our business is to display the fruit of the Spirit, which means being submitted to the Spirit. Our business is abiding in the Lord. Time is something that we're not going to get back. We have to get outside of our own selfish ambitions enough to be eternity minded and not just focused on right now. Time is something that we will not give back. As a parent, my son is getting ready to turn 4 tomorrow and then my baby is going to turn 1. I am holding back the tears thinking about my son growing up because time is going by so fast. And putting myself in Joyce's story, thinking about if I'm at the kitchen table stressing over bills, or my husband's the accountant, so this will probably be the opposite. My husband is sitting at the table stressing over bills, missing out on time with our kids. Bills that God can take care of. I have been in many situations where I didn't know how it was going to work out. I had to choose to trust God and be patient, joyful, and have rest in the meantime. And in those moments, as I look back, God always worked out the thing the enemy tried to torment me with. And I'm grateful for times that I got it right. And I'm remorseful for times that I got it wrong, to where I lost sleep. I lost hair. I've lost a clean bill of health. I've lost time with loved ones, worried, in a room present, but mentally somewhere else because I'm thinking about whatever it is or entertaining whatever it is the enemy is trying to keep me bound with. How many of you have been in this position? Because I know I'm not the only one. So I really want you to just let this episode marinate. Go to God with the heart posture of repentance and then commit to refocusing on him. Joyce ended it with an encouraging scripture, and I'm going to end this episode with that as well. Hebrews 13:5, it says, and this is in the Amplified version, "Let your character, your moral essence, your inner nature be free from the love of money. Shun greed, be financially ethical, being content with what you have. For he has said, I will never, under any circumstance, desert you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support, nor will I in any degree leave you helpless, nor will I forsake or let you down or relax my hold on you. So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently say, the Lord is my helper in time of need. I will not be afraid. So whatever it is the enemy is trying to plant in your mind right now, respond, I will not be afraid. So that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. If this episode blessed you, leave us a 5-star review. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.
At BP, we've reset our strategy with a focused downstream, a growing upstream, and disciplined investment in the transition. See how we'll grow shareholder value at bp.com/reset.